he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the Wednesday, January 17th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We got a sloppy start to the market today. I'm going to blame interest rates. We're up another 3 or 4 basis points this morning, and I'm also going to blame a hotter than expected retail sales report, right? That's bad news. Good news is bad news.
Yes. Yeah, the economy's doing too well.
Right? So don't be looking for any kind of rate cuts anytime soon. The Dow is down right now. Let's see where it is right now. The Dow is down 52 points. That's not bad. 52 points. It was down a little more. It's had a little comeback here. It's at 37,309. However, the NASDAQ is down 191 points today, down 1.3%. And, of course, it's those high P.E. NASDAQ stocks that are going to be impacted the most by any kind of rise in interest rates. And we've seen 14 basis points in the last 2 days, higher rates. S&P down 31, that's 66 basis points. Small caps down 1.2%. Crude oil is down $1.14. Weak numbers out of China continue. This time it's GDP. Gold is down $8 to 2022. The 10-year up 4 basis points now to 4.11. And Bitcoin up 140 to 42,757. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We had a weekday in the market yesterday, although we had a pretty good day yesterday in the market as we had a couple of big winners.
Well, Scott, stock-specific risk was helping us out yesterday.
Yeah, yes, it was the systemic, the market, which was down. And, you know, it seems to be worries over interest rates. What's new, right? It seems to be a dominant factor on a daily basis in the market. When will that next rate cut be here? I can't wait till it comes. And that's got the market all in a tizzy. I think Christine Lagarde from the International Monetary Fund today said, you know, maybe summer, that's at least over there in Europe. She's the ECB now. I think she's
EU. Yeah, she's the ECB president. And yeah, she mentioned, you know, she didn't expect rates till the summertime, which is she put give her some credit. She actually put a date on it, right?
Yeah, well, she pinned it down a little more, pinned the tail on the donkey, and we've got expectations for March. They're chomping at the bit, licking their chops for a March rate cut. I wouldn't count on it. That's just my perspective.
Yeah, 43%, 57% are still counting on a March rate cut, and it looks like 91% are counting for a rate cut in by May.
So. Okay, May. All right, by Kentucky Derby Day.
Right. Yeah.
If not that, the Indianapolis 500, one or the other. 12 basis points yesterday. Boeing and Morgan Stanley get whacked. Especially Boeing. Man, they've got issues. And the big winners yesterday were Taste, Carol's Restaurant Group, a little-known stock that you could have found in our newsletter. And AMD had a huge day yesterday on 2 upgrades that it got. And so that was yesterday.
And only giving back 2% today. So we still call that's still a net positive, right? I think it was up around 7-8% yesterday.
And here's why AMD went up yesterday. It continues to be one of our largest holdings, top 5, I would say, because it's in the premier growth and in the ultra growth portfolios. It was up more than 7% yesterday. Barclays bumped their target to 200 from 120. That's a massive upgrade. You know, I mean, either they were way behind the curve with their target price, or they think there's going to be a massive, a massive stimulus from their artificial intelligence.
That's an 83% increase in their in their target price.
That's unbelievable.
We're at 155 today, so you're looking at almost a 50% increase from where we're at now.
Yeah,
42%.
So. The analyst covering the company says we modeled 40% quarter over quarter growth in Q3 and Q4, so the second half of this year. We checked back in with the supply chain, and we are already hearing much stronger feedback on the M1300. That is their competitor to NVIDIA. And Susquehanna Financial also raised its price target on AMD to 170 from 130, due in part to AI, and it's gaining laptop market share from Intel. So there you go. That was the big hike and the big new, almost a new all-time high on AMD, one of the great turnaround stocks of all time. Okay, now let's see what's happening today. We had the Fed's Waller yesterday. The FOMC does not see an urgency in cutting rates. Well, I don't see one either. But they're hoping, they're always hoping for that punch bowl to be spiked by the Fed. And it looks like, you know, March is probably pie in the sky. Today we get earnings. Oh, does anybody care about Alcoa anymore? Probably
used to,
not.
Used to be the one, right? It used to be the first one to report. It was what was his name then? It wasn't Alcoa. It was a different name. But yeah, aluminum used to be a big benchmark for the economy.
The pride of Pittsburgh, isn't it? Yeah. I think it's up in Pittsburgh. Charles Schwab reported this morning. I also read that they've had about 90% of those people coming in from Ameritrade. We're one of those that they've closed 90% of those people coming in. That's pretty good. They had modeled like 85 or something like that, and they're doing better. Well, there's really not a lot of other choices these days. Citizens Financial Group reported, Prologis, which is one of the better REITs out there. U.S. Bancorp reported, tomorrow we get Taiwan Semiconductor. Well, there's the first shot over the bow in the tech sector, Taiwan Semiconductor. They've got one eye on China and one eye on their earnings tomorrow. Fastenal will report, Home Bank Shares, Bank of Ozark, and then on Friday we get Schlumberger, Comerica, Fifth Third, Travelers, and then I got to believe next week, I haven't looked at the schedule yet, but I got to believe next week will be hellacious. Today, this week we're getting just 22 S&P 500 stocks, but I got to believe next week we'll start to see some NASDAQ. Netflix is usually up there near the front. Apple's usually up there near the front. China,
get your model Excel sheet ready, Bill.
Yes, I'm ready. And, you know, the chart I sent out yesterday, I sent out a couple. Maybe I sent out about three or four. I did. I sent out Elf Beauty. Elf was hitting a new high yesterday.
And the mirror images of China. And then, of course, the inverse of China.
Okay, so, you know, look, off and on, I can't take it for very much. After about 5 minutes, I have to turn it off because it's just gobbledygook on Bloomberg Radio, Bloomberg Television, CNBC, and all the rest of them. I never hear anything that's really that important, like China, the chart of China. Why is nobody mentioning this? The chart of China is hitting new lows. Okay, over the last 10 years, the Chinese market is down, while our market is up like 294% or something like that. China's Q4 GDP grows less than expected among weak spending and property market decline. Well, you say, well, that's China's problem. Why should we be worried about China? You know, in addition to that, I also sent out a chart. So FXI is the ETF that I monitor as a proxy for the Chinese market. FXP is China upside down, which it is right now. That's the ETF that is inverse China. It's breaking out to the upside. Now, does this foretell trouble ahead for the global economy? I don't see how you cannot take this into account. And does it make China kind of desperate to pull off something like an invasion of Taiwan or something like that, or a crackdown on their own people, which I don't know if they can crack down any more than they already have, but the weakness in China should be noted.
Yeah, and weakness in population. I think second year in a row that they have a declining population.
Yes.
Also. So I saw some demographic issues as well.
To me, this is a big, big worry that we should have about the global economy and the market in 2024. Well, if they're not going to worry about it, I will, because I am worried about it. Okay, when we come back, there is a little more China, and then there's some U.S. reports coming in today. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Remember that those SPACs? Remember the word SPAC? We haven't seen a SPAC go public in quite some time, but there is a SPAC in the news here since the Iowa caucus. I'll call that the stock of the day today. It blew up to the upside yesterday. Let's see, before the Iowa caucus, last Friday it was at 17. I'm talking about Digital World Acquisition Class A, which is a SPAC, which contains Trump's Truth Social, right? Which
the DWAC is, SPAC.
DWAC the SPAC is back, and it's a wannabe alternative to Twitter and Facebook. I think there's about 600,000 users on there, something like that. It is up over the last 2 days. It was at 17. Today it's at 25. So you've got a big move, 50% move. It's up another 12% today. It's almost $1 billion in market cap. I don't think they have any sales whatsoever. No sales whatsoever. obviously, with the big win by Donald Trump, in the Iowa caucus, has set this little stock on fire. China's December industrial output up 6.8%, but retail sales growth below forecast. You know, I think the problem in China is China itself. The Chinese consumer, Chinese investors, you get a big bear market like that, that affects households. And then you throw on top of that a kind of a crash in their real estate market.
And liquidity. I mean, part of that, part of the real estate crash is really, really pulled down, liquidity is dried up. And, if you don't have money moving around the system, right, you don't
yes.
have, that's the oil engine for growth. Just ask the,
yes.
the Fed. That's what they've been trying to do is dampen liquidity with raising rates.
Okay, I just gave you the chart of the day to the upside, DWAC. Now, here's the chart of the day to the downside, Barry, FXI again. Look at that chart. Look at that one-year chart on FXI, which is the iShares China ETF. That's basically their index, the China 50 index. That thing is down another 3% today. Look, it was $54 in 2021. Now it's $21 and continues to plunge. Now, the opposite of that is FXP. And it's up 6.2% right now. Now, here's another thing you have to realize. Hidden behind the word emerging, the phrase emerging markets is China.
Yeah, they're grouped in. Whether they're actually in the index, there's a lot of indexes that still include them as emerging.
A
really
big part.
And then there's other indices. Obviously, all the countries surrounding it, are fueled by some growth in
Absolutely.
Some form or fashion from China. So
we get a lot of accounts move to us from other people. And, you know, so they come in with the holdings that were at the old firm, and then I go through them and weed them and prune them and get rid of the junk, the mess, clean up the mess.
Asset allocation is going to have some emerging, you know, specific emerging market exposure.
That's right? The first thing I get rid of is anything international or emerging market because of the exposure to China. And, you know, you look at your own portfolio, and if you have a 401k, emerging markets are usually in there, almost always are a choice for you to have. I wouldn't own anything outside of the U.S. I've been saying that now for several years. I don't like Europe. I don't like China. I don't like the Asian stocks. I don't like the emerging markets. I don't like the developed international markets. Because so much of them are dependent, intertwined with China.
What we own is already there, and revenues are generated. That you get enough exposure, you know, holding, say, in Microsoft,
Boeing,
you've got enough exposure.
Microsoft,
right.
Or whatever. Now, The China 50 inverse is FXP, and it's breaking out. It's juiced 2-to-1. Okay, so China's down 3% today. FXP's up 6% today. I don't know where it ends for China. I don't know when things get better. There just seems to be no end. Really, they have never recovered from COVID. And, you know, you remember the big lockdown and people howling at night because they were locked in their buildings and they couldn't get food and groceries and whatnot. I don't think they've ever really recovered from that. And they seem to be in a downward spiral that is not going to be good for the global economy. Now, across the pond here, we're better than expected.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, FXI is down, like you said, have never recovered. At February 23rd of 2021, right, they were they're down 62% FXI since then. So.
And then if you put that up against the S&P 500, and
going
we're
the other
way up. So there's something not right there in that economy, and it seems to be getting worse as opposed to getting better. Retail sales here in the U.S. were up more than expected. Now, that's one of the big reasons why our market is down today. You know how that works. Okay, we're going to have to put off that rate cut. Things are too hot. We got to cool things off. And, you know, look, I still see the consumer very strong. That's what I still see. Just in my own travels around the city and other places, and Disneyland and restaurants and the shopping centers and whatnot, it just seems like the consumer is still in pretty good shape. But, you know, is China foreshadowing a big slowdown here in the U.S.? Our retail sales came in hotter than expected. The U.K., if there's a spot where there's still a little bit of inflation, the most stubborn, UK's inflation rises to 4% in December. That's about the hottest in the world. Most everybody's down under 3% now. Canada's producer price index falls 1.5%. So inflation's pretty much a hiss and a byword by now. Inflation is going away and is almost gone, but not gone enough yet for a rate cut. Mortgage applications had a pretty good week. Now, where are we at on the 30-year fixed mortgage? 6.75. Man, I'm glad I got my mortgage a long time ago. I don't have to pay 6.75, but that's where the rates are right now. I just don't see any inventory. That's what I don't see. It's really shocking to take a look at different neighborhoods and different areas, especially around our neck of the woods. There's no inventory, Barry.
Not many for sale signs. And if there is, like you say, probably taking the words out of your mouth, if there is, the sale sign never gets out there because it gets sold before.
Or if you see it online, I saw one online this morning and it said under contract. Okay, it just appeared. New listing, Mount Pleasant, under contract. Wow, that's crazy. Okay, now when we come back, we've got some big macro projections from our friends at Bank of America. The Houthi rebels are at it again. And we've got some individual stocks to talk about. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Dow down 60, the NASDAQ down 184. That's a big difference there. The NASDAQ's down 1.2%. Of course, it represents the higher PE stocks, which are impacted the most when interest rates go up. The Dow represents the lower PE stocks, or is a proxy for them. It's down just 16 basis points, but the NASDAQ's down 126, 1.3% right now. And crude oil is down 93 cents. That crude oil, too, I mean, that's another thing you can point to China. This is the price of crude, even despite all of this, these issues in that Red Sea and Suez Canal, where about one-sixth of all the oil passage goes through there. You have oil prices under pressure because of weak demand from China.
Yeah, could you imagine what the price of oil would be if we were sitting back at, you know, this was if they were, you know, humming like they were in the 2010s?
Yeah, right? We'd be up around $90-$100 a barrel.
Yeah, at least.
Well, anyways, you know, look, at the end of the year and the we started to warn that things were going to, the market's going to consolidate. And that is a chart I sent out this morning of the Dow, where it was going up, going up, going up all through December, all through November, and now it's leveling off like a plateau, okay? That's called a consolidation. And from that consolidation, it can roll over and correct, or it can break out to the upside. And I just think that the more likely course would be to continue to correct because of the valuation. The valuation kind of dictates that the market needs to correct to get that forward P.E. ratio down. And that's what we predicted for the beginning of this year. And so far, that is exactly what is playing out in the market. I don't think the correction's over. We're still at 20.8 on the forward P.E. ratio. And I think it needs to come down into the 18 to 19 range. And that's what Bank of America is basically saying. They say that the S&P will struggle in the first half of this year before the presidential election year returns. Bank of America says that the S&P will experience a pause during the first half of the year. Now, I don't know that it just depends. I mean, it depends on how much of a correction. It depends on if earnings expectations go higher, then the market will follow. Or if those earnings expectations go lower, then you're going to have the market pause for even longer. And there's also a lot of concern. I don't think there's ever been the concern about a presidential election that we have in 2024. I mean, the world is concerned about, you know, potential disputed outcome one way or another. That's another factor. Well, anyways, this is supposed to be a good year historically. A presidential election year is a pretty good year historically for the market, but this is a little bit different. And Bank of America expects a pause for the first half of the year and then a summer rally June, write this down because they probably are totally wrong. June through August, and then a November-December post-election relief rally. Okay, if we get any relief, we'll see. That's what they're now. When it comes to a price target, Bank of America, which is Merrill Lynch, counts 5,200 and 5,600 somewhere in there, but firmly above 4,600. See, they've covered all their bases. That's how they work. It could be flat, and they'll say, we were right. It could go to 5,600, and they'll say, we were. But I would say this.
The, we got our base case, positive case, and our negative case.
No, you don't get that. You don't get that luxury. I'm sorry.
Three choices.
What is it? But anyways, the consensus S&P 500 target price is about 5,200. 5,300, somewhere in there. That's the consensus. We're below that. And, of course, we're currently at 4,800. So I still think you make a pretty strong case for a little bit more correction to go here. Now, when President Biden came into office, I think it was the first week he took the Houthi rebels off of the terrorist list. I don't know why, but he did. He's putting them back on today or this week as the terrorists on the terrorist list after retaliatory strikes in Yemen.
Yeah, and I was reading why, and I'm like, okay, why would you ever take them off, number one, right? And it was, you know, it was read something that they were taken off so they it was easier to get food and humanitarian aid in there, right? Which, I mean, I don't, okay, I mean, that'd be, it just doesn't make sense. I'm like, well, if you want to get the aid in there, just go ahead and get it in there. Like, it doesn't matter if they're on a list or not, right? I mean,
it seems like we want to appease Iran. That's what it
seems like. Appease everyone.
Copper drops to 5-week low as more data shows sluggish Chinese economy. Well, you know, that's all you got to do. And I just don't hear them talking about this on Bloomberg, and maybe you do, CNN, maybe I should listen to it all day. I can't take it all day long. Good for
unless
about
it's on mute.
Minutes.
It's great on mute.
Now, Tesla lowers prices on some Model Ys in Europe, and I got to point to Tesla stock, which is extremely weak. Tesla stock is now at 214. Tesla was 300 in July and dropping fast. There's a lot of controversy surrounding Tesla and a lot of issues surrounding Tesla. Now, from yesterday's story of restaurant brands buying Carrols, which is a big franchisee, somehow we, you know, it lost in the news is what will this do for restaurant brands? Is this a good move by them? Well, I think so, or they wouldn't have done it. I think it's accretive to their earnings. And I'm reading here, weighing in on the restaurant sector, Cowen analyst Andrew Charles said the Carrols acquisition amplifies the importance of Burger King U.S. to the overall restaurant brand story and signals confidence in sustained momentum following 2023's strong rebound. Well, you know what? QSR did have a good year last year, and you've got Patrick Doyle and his team there at Quality Restaurants. QSR was up 17.3% last year. It's kind of been dead in the water for a long time, and of course, the excitement is around the turnaround story. And I just think that this shows that, you know, this is an active turnaround story, Barry. They're making some pretty bold moves here.
Yeah, and Taste used to be kind of known, you know, it's almost like their off balance sheet financing arm. What Taste, you know, kind of Taste's role for a long time there was, you know, they helped Burger King add more restaurants. They had, you know, an agreement where they would build, you know, I don't know, they had, I think they had a certain amount of capacity, like they could build, you know, 400 new restaurants or acquire 400 new restaurants. And so, you know, they kind of hit, you know, they hit those, all of those targets, and, you know, they didn't have any new expansion, right? They had at least planned just for Taste. And so they, you know, basically come back and, you know, it's almost, think of it almost as, you know, buying back some of your, you know, retiring, a loan out there, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting dynamic in terms of how those two how those two have been intertwined for a good period of time.
So you think this is a good move overall for QSR to buy back this taste?
Yeah, I think so. It's number one, it gives them more control, right? Because a franchisee that has that many restaurants, right, does they swing a big stick when it comes to in the franchisee world. And so now they've gotten, taken some of that ownership back from that standpoint. And also, I believe they're going to speed up the they require certain, franchisees to remodel restaurants within a certain amount of time. This way they'll be able to speed that up where they can make that investment in rebranding those restaurants, if you will, and getting them up to, the quote unquote brand standard. And, in turn, hopefully your Whopper will taste better next time.
It sounds like it's a makeover to me. It's a complete makeover of a chain that had just become decrepit and needed a big infusion, and it's happening. So anyways, all right, now, Spirit Airlines, that fell apart. The merger between Spirit and JetBlue, and, of course, JetBlue is also buying Hawaiian. May fall through also, but anyways, the airline industry under a little bit of pressure right now, and there's a lot of planes not in the air right now that happen to be Boeing planes. Now, when we come back, there's a few earnings we'll talk about. There's a few. They all add up, and then we'll look underneath the surface and find our stocks of the day, our winners and losers. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now Show. Well, the market's going about the way you would expect, with a couple of days of rising rates. We're up 16 basis points here in 2 days as the days until the next rate cut, the first rate cut in a long, long time, seem to be further out than originally anticipated, and that's impacting interest rates. That's impacting interest rate sensitive stocks. So on a couple of days like this, you're going to see the REITs, which are very interest rate sensitive, on the downside. Vornado Trust is down 3.9%. That's the biggest loser in the S&P 500. SLG is also another REIT. I think it's a shopping center REIT. It's down 3.3%. And then other losers in the S&P 500, Estee Lauder, which has been under a lot of pressure the last few years. I think it's Elf Beauty, right?
I was about to say, going in opposite.
Share. Elf's going up. Estee Lauder going down.
Going in the opposite direction.
That's why we call the show Best Stocks Now. Tesla's having a rough day, down 3.2%. We sold our Tesla here recently. I did not like the way it was trading. And, Elon, this demanding more control, he had his Gigafactory shut down in Germany. There seems to be a lessening of demand for EVs. There's been quite a few obstacles placed in front of Tesla. Enphase continues to drop.
A lot of EV, almost all the EV production is stopping or slowing down in Europe due to the Red Sea issue. So
yes, and let's not forget the cold weather. I saw video of a line to charge electric cars. It was in Chicago. They don't do so well in cold weather, electric cars. That's another issue you have with this big cold wave sweeping across America.
Yeah, isn't that why for a long time you had diesel fuel, right? And because it was better combustible, I think, in cold weather, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
that's why Mercedes were diesel in Europe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, that's right. Okay, now. On the upside, and this is what you would expect, the low PE stocks are having a good day. Humana, a healthcare stock, up 3% today. The pride of Louisville. Boeing is actually having a little bit of a bounce today. It's up 2.2%. ConAgra, all right, there's a low P.E. Grain stock, ConAgra's up 1.7%. Campbell's Soup, chunky, up 1.6%. These are all low P.E. stocks on the upside, high P.E. stocks on the downside today. LabCorp of America up 1.6. Again, those are the winners and losers in the S&P 500. In the NASDAQ, man, anything associated with China, I mean with direct relationship. Well, JD.com is the Chinese stock. JD is, that's an ugly chart. That's just an ugly chart breaking down again, even despite a P.E. ratio of 8. It's just getting clobbered. This was a $108 stock, and speaking of 2021 in China, JD was $108. Now, we've owned JD quite a while ago in the past. Now it's 22 from 108.
How's Pinduoduo doing? Is that about the only name that's holding up?
That seems to be the one that somehow has the favor of the CCP that don't seem to come after them.
And JD.com, I mean, like you said, when we wrote that stock up, I mean, it was a great potential, and of course, you know, just got smacked down by the rules and regulations via China.
So. And the same with Alibaba. Alibaba was 320, and now it's 68. That was their Amazon.
Right.
Alibaba from 320 down to 68. So anything with China also down there in the NASDAQ is Wynn. Okay, Wynn Resorts has all that exposure to the casinos there in Macau. Baidu's down 2.5%. That's another crackdown. I saw today China's going to write rules on artificial intelligence that everybody's got to go by. So those are the losers in the NASDAQ. There are really no winners. Mondelez. Okay, Mondelez, obviously a food company. Kraft. Those are the winners in the NASDAQ today. So that just tells you. And in the Dow, the only real winner there is United Healthcare, UNH. Which is a low P.E., pretty good stock, United Healthcare. That's the biggest healthcare company in the world at $500 billion in market capitalization. Well, we're having a lot of fun on a daily basis here. If you'd like to join along, you might want to check out the newsletter that goes out every Friday and Saturday with our five portfolios that I manage. And how they're doing, and what we own currently, what we've been selling, what we've been buying. We have made some new buys recently. I'm on the prowl every single day, looking for good buys or things that are starting to weaken. And there is still a lot of vulnerability in these higher PE stocks. We've seen that several of them. Like Tesla, under pressure here in 2024. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter by going to GundersonCapital.com. The app is just, I love it. What can I say? That's the beststocksnowapp.com. It separates the wheat from the chaff.
It puts heard some good feedback, too, on the updates.
Yes, so we've had good feedback. It puts the best stocks are ranked at the top within their division, whatever division they play in, whatever sector they play in the market. And, you know, you begin by looking at the ranking of the sectors. Begin with the asset classes, and then the sectors, and then break down the sectors to the best stocks within the sector. It's a good top-down approach or even a bottom-up approach. To the market. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, that's even more important. This is time consuming. It's very time consuming. It's details. It's intricate. give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.